And welcome back to the greatest episode of the Shaven Plains Podcast. My name is Jayton May, joined as always by my co-host Quentin Crisco for another week of NFL and college bets. How are we doing tonight, Quentin?
Doing good. Making money.
Making money.
That was a good week, my man.
We needed that.
10-2 as a podcast. It's about, I mean, you don't get much better than that.
10-2. 10-2. Yeah.
About dang time.
A lot of good things happened last week. CeeDee Lamb just might be the best player in football. If he's not, maybe it's Brandon Cooks. Who knows? But that Cowboys offense, I know the Giants aren't great, but that's the most I've felt, confident in what they're doing as an offense all year. Rico Dowdle was getting more carries, which I've been screaming for all season, because I was convinced before the season started. I'm even more convinced now that Tony Pollard can't be the lead, and it's just been proven time and time again. I mean, Zeke has almost identical touches to Pollard so far in a two-back system
in an offense
with a worse O-line,
as well with
better stats and more touchdowns. So, and I was banging the table to, if you're going to do anything, either let both go or keep Zeke and let Pollard go. And they did the worst thing imaginable, where they cut Zeke and franchise tag Pollard, where we're essentially paying $20 million to the running back position, which
might have even been able to tag and trade Pollard.
Yeah, which up to this point has been terrible. And if you could, I mean, if you were getting the production that you get from Dowdle against the Giants, where you're actually giving him 10 plus carries a game with Pollard getting 12 to 15 carries a game, like a little bit of a split with Pollard getting the majority, it's okay. But when Pollard's getting 23 carries a game and nobody else is doing anything, and you're averaging 46 yards a game rushing, and paying $20 million to get that done is pretty ridiculous. So
it's something glad to that see. It's like really brushed over in the analytics community, is like, just because a guy produces well in a two running back role doesn't mean that production is going to stay the same with more touches, more carries, more opportunities. Like it's the law of diminishing returns, right? Like it's bound to cut down when they're not the lead back. And I feel like a lot of analytics community just looks at, you know, the rush yards over expected and says, why isn't he getting more touches? Which, you know, I can buy like getting him some more touches, but to turn a guy from two back to lead back, you do expect progression to hit, just because the situations aren't favorable for him anymore.
And like, I don't know why I'm the only person I ever heard make this, but I mean, it costs $10 million to cut Zeke, and granted, that's a lot of money to keep him on the roster. I think it was $13 million, so I think they saved $3 million against the cap to cut him. But then you cut him for $10 million. Franchise Pollard for what, well, I think it was like 8.95 or whatever it was, whatever the tag was, to where if you just keep Zeke and cut Pollard, it's less money against the cap. And then go grab any other two. Go grab a guy in the draft. Zach Charbonnet went, what, third round? He's not getting any touches in Seattle, but like when he's touching the ball, when he touches the ball, he looks good. I mean, it just made no sense to me from a cap standpoint, to when that was the whole reason why they cut Zeke to begin with, because they were in a bad cap situation.
Well, you know what the real moral of the story is? Don't pay running backs that type of contract. Stay out of this situation.
But that was long and past. Like, the deed had been done at that point, and it's just putting yourself in the best position. And it's like I said all offseason, I'm like, I don't know if we're a better offense cutting Zeke and keeping Pollard. If you're gonna cut Zeke, cut both. Like, we're not cut, but get rid of both and play anybody at running back and just take the cap hit and go on with it. Like, But yeah, the way they handled that, which in typical Cowboys fashion, was just completely wrong. But I digress. Cowboys look great on offense against a really bad Giants team, but I love to see it. And then your Bears got a big win against the Carolina Panthers.
The first time Bears fans could unite, like, really all season. Like, week one, maybe, but, like, this was the first time where everyone who roots for the Bears was rooting for a Bears victory. And what feels like a long time outside of week one was just a complete disaster.
Was that the biggest Bears win in 2 years?
At least, maybe three, four.
It's a huge win. Huge win for the Bears. And then you have Kyler coming back in Arizona. You need Danny DeVito to do something for you. You need Mac Jones to do something for you. But it's looking like this Carolina team is on a good path to get that one overall pick. Mm-hmm. You got to be feeling good as a Bears fan right now.
It feels great. I mean, it seems like there's some dysfunction going through that the facility there in Carolina with Frank Reich. Apparently wanted CJ Stroud,
and it's easy to say no.
But it said no. I don't want CJ Stroud. I want Bryce Young. To be clear, I had a bet on CJ Stroud to be the one pick because he fits what Frank Reich wants to do. Like, I wouldn't throw this out there as speculation unless it like made sense. Bryce Young for Frank Reich's offense never made a lot of sense.
Yeah, I will say. That Texans offense, I mean, say what you want about CJ Stroud, but it's not like he's doing this with. I mean, you look at some of the, you look at some of the past rookies, and like Trevor Lawrence and some of these other guys who maybe didn't have the most weapons, and then I mean, you look at what CJ Stroud's doing. I mean, they signed a middle of the road tight end and. Dalton Schultz, who's having a great season. They drafted a undersized wide receiver in Tank Dell. They signed Bobby Trees.
Pounds wet, like Tank Dell is like he's tiny, skin and bones.
They signed a journeyman in Bobby Trees. Noah Brown, who was on the Cowboys as well for quite a time, is just exploding for him. So it's not like he's doing this with even. I wouldn't say like it. It's definitely not elite
Nico
talent.
Nico Collins was the one guy who you were saying, like, okay, that's a starting caliber receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like he's doing this guy, like, doing this with even, like, better than average talent. Like, you look at this roster going into the season, you're like, yeah, he might have be in the lower 10 teams in the league for receiver talent.
Not to mention... both their tackles have missed like five games this year. Their left guard left out week two for the season. Their center that they drafted in the second round hasn't played a snap, so their sixth round rookie is starting there instead. Like the O line should be in shambles. Oh, Jared Patterson, of course he is. I loved him in the draft, but anyways, I digress.
Yeah, that Texans team is filthy, man, and. I love to see it because, I mean, we were both Stroud boys going into that draft. I mean, we were wearing the hats and everything, like Stroud boys for life.
Yeah. I mean, in my wildest dreams, I didn't think he'd be doing what he's doing right now. But I thought he was the best quarterback in the class.
Oh, yeah. And so now we get to start the conversation of Bears could have had that guy. So we look at guys like Jalen Carter. With guys like C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson. It's like Bears could have had him.
Yeah, I mean, they could have, but really...
like the position the Bears are in now.
It doesn't hurt that much to me because Darnell Wright has looked awesome, and they got D.J. Moore. Like, plus a first round, plus potentially the one pick this year, and the second round pick the year after that. Like, they're... like, I can't really be upset.
Hey, so what we have... we're week 11 right now, so we have 7 weeks left in the season.
Yeah. Eight, right? 11, 12,
17,
14,
15, 17 16, game 17, season.
18. Oh, but 18 weeks.
Yeah.
Because of the buys. So, well, 8 more weeks.
Wait, including this week.
Yeah.
Okay, that's where the confusion was. Okay, so Justin Fields coming back let's say the Bears ball out with Justin Fields when
if he is back. There's some speculation right now.
Let's say you go 5-3, and the Bears pick ends up 12-16 range. They win some games, basically, but not good enough to make playoffs, but good enough to where they don't have a top 10 pick with their own. And then let's say, but Justin Fields looks good. And let's say by a miracle, the Panthers win another game. Is it really the worst thing in the world to like have Marvin Harrison Jr. like fall into your lap at that like 3 or 4 spot?
Man, this is all about context. Looks good isn't enough. Like, it needs to be, like, what is he specifically doing against the Lions, against the Browns, and against the Lions again? Those three games. Like, you can be 5-3 and the Vikings, because Brian Flores put Justin Fields in a torture chamber the last time they played. Like, because they're a more diverse defense, they're more willing to adjust to the quarterback they're playing and pick on his weaknesses than some other defenses are. And with defenses that do that to Fields, tend to kill him. He just can't play against them. But if he's beating up on the Cardinals and the Falcons and the Packers defense, like, I'm not that excited, because it's like, it might just be another flash, but I don't know. Until you beat a DC like Brian Flores, I don't know what you have in him, because he hasn't shown an ability to beat that guy yet.
So are the days of, like, let's wait until we get a competent situation around this guy just gone completely? Because, I mean, he hasn't been in a good situation. And the whole we have to maximize rookie deals, we have to do this, like, everything centered around a rookie quarterback. See what you have in your rookie quarterback, then build around it. And if by the time that rookie quarterback's contract is over, then that all trust is gone. You're either renewing or you're rebuilding. One of the two. Are gone the days of, like, yeah, it took longer to rebuild than we thought, but we've seen enough out of this guy that we're actually going to try to move on with him. We're going to put weapons around him. We're going to build an offensive line. Like the Alex Smith route of the 49ers, which it might be a bad example, but, I mean, they held on to that guy for, what, 9 years? And they were good the last three. Then they finally replaced him with Kaepernick. Like, are we just completely removed from trying past the initial, like, first 3 or 4 years? Because if you look at everything around it, it's like he's been in a terrible situation. Like, you could say he gets put in a torture chamber and everything like this, but it's like, he hasn't really had much of a running game to work with. The defense hasn't been elite by any means.
You watch the tape. You go look at the tape from the Tampa game, the Green Bay game this season. He's got DJ Moore. He's got Darnell Mooney. He's got Cole Kmet. Like, the weapons are there now. There are guys flying open downfield, and he's looking at them, and he's not pulling the trigger because he's not sure what he's seeing from the coverage at times. And that's – I don't know how you fix that. That's the thing. That's how true. A guy who's gotten trigger shy, I don't know how you fix it. And you need to decide on his fifth year option this offseason. So,
no, that's what I'm saying.
At
but
this
like,
point, like, it's really difficult, and you can end up in a Daniel Jones situation really quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just curious, because, I
and
mean, I
so
think
those days that you're talking about with Alex Smith, like, that was before the rookie the
pay scale.
Rookie contracts became got put on the pay scale. Like, when that happened, it all changed, because it used to be you were tied to a 7-year commitment with this kid, you know, and that's not the case anymore.
But I mean, I'm not saying that we saw it work out a lot, but I'm just saying, would it be the worst case scenario if the Bears don't land a quarterback in this draft, Justin Fields shows a little minor improvements, and but then you can extend him instead of a fifth year option, you extend him and make him the 25th highest paid quarterback in the league. I don't know, like, it's not like
it wouldn't be
lower than average.
Thing. I mean,
and then you get a Marvin Harrison Jr. Low. And then but I mean, I don't know. I don't know what that would be.
It's limited upside until you see that he can beat a D coordinator who has this, until you see that he can adjust his play to beat that, because he hasn't shown maybe some as a rookie, but the last two seasons he hasn't shown it, and that's where it gets really tough, because it's like it might just be stuck that way now. Like I will stand here and pound the table that rookie Justin Fields had a chance anywhere, but at this point I'm not sure he still does. It might have just been knocked out of him with the 500 sacks he's taken so far.
No, and I agree. I'm just curious. Like, is anybody gonna ever take that chance to stick with a guy, or are we just in a like now to where it's like you either fail or you succeed. There is no middle ground. Like, I'm not necessarily speaking Bears specifically, but like
Daniel Jones and the Giants and the Packers just did this. Like they gave their guys. Yeah, I mean, so they gave Danny Dimes the extension. They didn't need to.
But
Jordan Love an extension. They had no need to.
But both of those deals were basically like essentially just picking up the fifth year option, and then you can cut them after the year. Like,
well, do you think an extension for Fields would look like? I mean, it's no different than that. I would say highest paid. I mean, that's lower than a rookie.
No, I would say like something that would be at least a 2 to 3 year commitment, to where it wouldn't make sense to cut him immediately if things don't work out. Like, but at the same time, like you pay him well enough to keep him around, and you at least commit 2 to 3 more years to where you're not like giving him a deal to where everybody knows, like, if it doesn't happen next year, you can get out of it. Because if that's the case, like, why even, like, the Danny Dimes and the Love situation was like they were just like hedging against themselves, to where they're like, oh, we'll give him the fifth year option, but I mean, the fifth year option is kind of expensive, so we'll spread it out to where we're not taking the full cap hit next year. And if he's good, then we can re-extend him, and if he's not, then we could just cut him and just pay a little bit extra down the road. But I'm talking like an actual like 2 to 3 year commitment.
I mean, I feel like Danny Dimes is pretty hard to get out of for the Giants. Like they're kind of in a rough spot. But aside from that, like we've talked enough about that. Like, I think one of the reasons you're not going to see it is GMs don't get 2 QBs.
Yeah.
And the GM gets fired by year 5 if the QB didn't work out.
Yeah,
so why is a new GM going to hitch his wagon to this kid who hasn't shown it yet? Like,
it would have to be someone established that is secure in their job.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just curious to me, because I mean, I look at Justin Fields still, and I mean, even with all the problems, I'm like, he's been in one of the most dysfunctional situations in the NFL. And if I'm sitting there as it's hard to find examples right now, because I mean, Bill Belichick, okay, like Bill Belichick and the Patriots, and like if they go pick up Justin Fields off the street and then like revamp a dynasty, like,
hey, I say this on the Bears podcast, I still think Justin Fields can be Ryan Tannehill plus. I'm just not sure that can win a Super Bowl.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think his ceiling is well above Ryan Tannehill.
That's why I said plus. I thought his floor coming in the league was around Ryan Tannehill. And I think his career has actually played out so far really similar to Ryan Tannehill's. But I also struggle to see that happening in Chicago. Like, I think he needs a new place, like Ryan Tannehill did. Ryan Tannehill got to Tennessee.
Yeah,
they built an offense for him around Derrick Henry that really worked for him. Like, I think Fields needs that. He needs an OC who's going to look at him and say, either this is the perfect piece for what I want to do, or I'm going to build this thing to what he can do. And
I think Fields is a much better passer. But like, my main point was just saying, like, is it the end of the world if you miss out on Drake May, Caleb Williams, and end up with Marvin Harrison Jr.?
It's not the end of the world, but like, it's not what I want. You still need a new quarterback, I think.
See, that's where I'm like, maybe just see what happens. Like, keep building that O-line. O-line's looking better.
But then it's very easy to end up in purgatory at that point. because you're building it up, and then you're too good to get back to the top of the draft.
Yeah, and then you have to start paying, like, then all of a sudden you have to pay Marvin Harrison Jr., and you have to re-sign DJ Moore and Javonte Dexter and everybody else. Yeah.
It creeps up on you fast.
Yeah, I mean, there's just no long-term staying power right now in the NFL, and the first GM that can figure that out without having a Patrick Mahomes is going to be, like, the next Hall of Fame, like, general manager, I think.
See, Chris Raines in the comments here, Fields killed off his steam in Chicago by coming out with a horrendous start of the season for the first 3 or 4 games. I agree with that. I mean, him getting hurt was the worst timing possible for him, but, like, he didn't leave a lasting impression going into getting
hurt. Oh, yeah.
Of, like, we can't be without this guy.
And, that was just the easiest example to use. I'm just saying, like, in general, like, the idea of maybe, like, trying to keep a guy on a lesser paid contract and building around a quarterback that might not be a quarterback in your system that maybe is top 12 to 17 and building around that guy, like, you don't see that, like,
no, you don't. And it's because it's a,
and you also need the quarterback
league, and if you're right outside that top 10, you've got the guy they're looking for. That's,
yeah, but you also need that. You also need that top 12 to 17 quarterback to accept getting paid like a top 12 to 17 quarterback. And
yeah,
that's where it really comes in.
There's high end and low end. I mean, there's not much precedent for it right now. We got Calvin in the comments. Lions are the single team he's most impressed with so far. And we got Chris Raines again. All us Chicago Bears fans have wanted our whole life as a franchise quarterback, and I cannot.
Oh, yeah, Jay Cutler. Yeah, Jay Cutler. What are you talking about?
The original Josh Allen, right?
Oh, don't get me started.
All right, let's get started. The NFL bets. Let's get into this. First up here, we got Thursday Night Football. The Cincinnati Bengals going to the Baltimore Ravens. I got a question here for you. Can a bird really beat a big cat?
So, Big Cat is a really big personality on the internet. I do like him. He's got great takes. He's one of my favorite follows. He's a family man, father of three. People forget that. Donuts on Saturdays. I do donuts on Saturdays with my boys. So, I gotta go with Big Cat here. I'm taking Bengals +3.5 here. 3.5 is a weird get in that hook. AFC North is a wild division right now, and it seems like the worst team always wins these games. The Ravens coming off of a loss kind of gives me a little hesitation here, but the Bengals are also coming off a loss, a bad loss to a Texans team, and they made that game closer than it should have been. Texans should have ran away with that. But I'm going to take Bengals +3.5 here on a short week. I love what they have going on offense. I think Joe Burrow is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I mean, I've said he's 2 behind Mahomes for the past 2.5-3 years now. And getting the hook in this game, I'm taking the Bengals.
Bengals can't lose. They're sitting at 5-4. They fall to 5-5 in a tight AFC race with Steelers, Jags, coming up next 2 weeks. They got Kansas City and Cleveland later in the season. Like, they their margin for error is slim to none. They're going to be fighting like hell in this game. I'm with you. Bengals +3.5. I thought, I looked at this and I was like, feels kind of, in your words, feels a little ratty. But, like, I just don't see how the
I'm not Bengals selling the rat because how good this game. This is one of those where it's like, It feels like it should be a rat, but then you look at how good the Ravens have been coming off of a loss. Like, it almost seems like the line should be 4.5 or 5 at the same time. So, like, that's where I really expect this game to be closer to 4.5. Ravens at home. Ravens can run the ball. Keaton Mitchell has been great for him, even though they don't give him any touches whatsoever.
And coming off of a loss that they probably shouldn't have lost to the Browns, another division opponent. Like, they're motivated too from that. But I could see that. I honestly think the Ravens probably win this game. I just think it's going to be a tight contest. And so I also, I'm not betting it officially, but if you like it, I say take it under 46 in this game. AFC North division matchups are just low scoring typically, despite last week being extremely high scoring between the Browns and Ravens. I just think that these are bloodbath games. I'm always down for an under on Thursday night football in the AFC North, especially.
I like it.
Next up here, we're just going to talk through this one quick. Chargers at Packers. Lightning is indeed more powerful than cheese, but
okay, I'm staying away. Packers got to, like, they're in a position now where they have to, like, sign Jordan Love to, like, a mega deal, like a 10-year, like, $460 million contract. Like,
I'm here for
They're like, you have to sign this guy long term. Like, he just had a monster one last week. Like, just sign the dude. Just give him a lifetime contract. Let him name his price. Like, that's all I have to say about this game. I mean, the Chargers are the same team they've been since 2001. That's all I have to say about the Chargers. They're the exact same team. But if you're the Packers, like, you've seen this before. Like, every time you get a quarterback, he's a Hall of Famer. And don't wait around and kick the can on this Jordan Love situation, because if not, he's going to make you pay him $1 billion. So just do it right now. Sign him to a $500 million contract over the next 12 years. It'll be the best investment you ever make. Like, you don't want an Aaron Rodgers situation to where he's holding you hostage every 2 years for $37 million more dollars. Like, if you just give him $500 million right now, it's going to be great. So, Packers, sign Jordan Love to a mega, mega, mega extension.
I agree. So, spread on this, 3 points. Chargers are the favorites. I actually thought about taking the Chargers there because I think Jordan Love isn't very good. But it's in Green Bay. It's in the cold.
No, Jordan Love's great.
I don't know how the Chargers are going to react to that. The total here is 43.5. I kind of like the over just because it's Chargers game. You know they're going to end up with 20-something points, and they're going to, like, win or lose by three. So, 43, I kind of like the over, but again, I stayed away.
No.
Next up here, Steelers at Browns. I didn't have anything witty or dad joke funny type thing to say here, so I just put, I don't know what to say here. But what do you think of this game, Jay?
All right, so this is a typical Steelers beat the Browns. Mike Tomlin beats the Browns. If you like the under in this game, take the under. But I'm taking the Steelers plus 3.5. Another reason, they're getting the hook. You're getting the football with the hook. I don't know how the Steelers cover this. I really don't. Their defense is good. Browns' defense is good. Under is probably the play here. But giving me Mike Tomlin in the AFC North versus the Browns, and he's getting the football plus half a point. And historically, he just somehow wins these games. Give me Steelers plus 3.5.
I know how they do it. I mean, I didn't bet this. I wanted to take Steelers plus 3.5, but I ended up avoiding because I don't trust Kenny Pickett. But I don't trust Kenny Pickett against this Browns defense. Myles Garrett is just an animal right now. He's unstoppable.
Might be defense player of the year.
But so how it happens is, Steelers D-line is disgusting. Keanu Benton stuffing up the run all game. Browns struggle to score. Steelers get a defensive score, set their offense up for field position with a different turnover. Like, that's how the Steelers win this game. Or cover 3.5. I saw it at 4. But I stayed away because Myles Garrett might eat Kenny Pickett alive. But that's the game script for the Steelers winning, and I can see it happening. I'm just not confident enough to take it myself.
Yeah.
Next up here, we have the Chicago Bears going to Motown. Two alpha predators here facing off with the Bears and the Lions. What do you think of this one, Jay?
I don't have this game. What's the spread?
Bears are 10-point dogs. Total is 46.5.
Lions defense hasn't looked as good as it did earlier in the season. If Justin Fields is back, I kind of like the over in this game.
That secondary fell apart, as I predicted in the season preview.
Yeah, so if Tyler Badgett plays in this game, I might like Lions minus 10. I just don't see how you're stopping this Lions offense right now. Somehow the Ravens figured it out, but I mean, outside of them, the Lions offense coordinator, whose name is escaping me at the moment, you got it. He's your future coach.
Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson has been incredible. Some of the things he worked up last week against the Chargers on fourth down and late third down were some of the best play calls I've ever seen in my life. I mean, he is very intuitive. The only thing I can't get over is their usage of their running backs, but that might be a Dan Campbell thing. That might not be. I don't know. But Jahmyr Gibbs is an absolute force to be reckoned with. Amon-Ra St. Brown looks like he's finally fully healthy. Jamison Williams is kind of starting to get involved in the offense here and there. So once he gets his footing, like, it's just another weapon. I don't have the high hopes for Jamison Williams that I had a couple years ago, but just as a gadget guy in that offense is lethal. I mean, the dude is fast. So fast. When you add him in with everything else in that offense, even if he never turns into what he could have been, just having that weapon on that offense is just incredible. So I'll take Lions minus 10, and I'll take the over if Justin Fields plays. I just don't see how the Bears keep up with them. Bears yeah. defense hasn't been great. So yeah, I'll take the Lions against the spread, and I'll take the over if Justin Fields plays.
Side note, Bears defense actually has been starting to figure some stuff out the last few weeks. Been playing pretty well, but it hasn't been against good opponents, so we'll see there. But if I'm betting anything in this game, it's the over 46.5. Excuse me, over 46.5 as long as Justin Fields plays. I want nothing to do with the spread. I just have no interest at 10. I could see the ways the Bears could cover if Justin Fields plays. I could see the Lions just blowing the doors off them. Like, I don't know which way is the smart way. If there's going to be a back door, so I'm just staying away.
Yeah.
Next up here, got the New York Football Giants, led by, what's his name?
Danny DeVito.
Yeah, led by the Penguin himself, going to the Commies in just outside Washington, D.C., can a giant be a commander, like, mascot-wise?
Yes.
So that's what I thought. These might be two of the same things.
Yes.
But from football standpoint, I again, this one I had no interest in. Giants are 9.5-point dogs. Total is 6.5. Could the Commies put up 30? Maybe? Sam Howell's kind of
old. Do you know... You might know because you keep up with stats. Do you know who's leading the league right now in yards for his quarterback?
Sam Howell.
Yeah, but right? Quite a bit. He's like, Sam Howell's on pace to throw for 4,900 yards this season.
The dude just swings it, man.
Dude, 4,900 yards. Put him in the top 20. Stacks.
Net yards.
Put him in top 20 stacks. All time.
Top 20 what? All time?
All time. Or of all, like, yards in a season.
Okay, so if you take out sacks, he's probably like 100 something. But
yeah, he has 2,800 yards right now with 8 games left.
It's impressive. He's just chucking the dang thing.
Like or no, 2,800 7 games left. Excuse me, just 7 yeah. games left.
Yeah, but so I'm staying away. I might like the over makes some sense to me, but when I'm squinting, I say no, and I'm squinting. So
I think right now, if you're going to bet on a Giants game, you have to take the opponent to cover the spread.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who it is.
I agree.
But I'm not betting this game.
Next up here, we got the Raiders going to Miami. Pirates versus Fish. It's a battle as old as time. What do you think?
So, what is this? 6.5, I believe, right?
Is it 6.5? 11.5. Yeah.
Oh,
Dolphins minus 11.5, total
11.5. I almost bet this one on the Raiders side. I didn't bet it, but I think the Raiders got a little something going with Antonio Pierce, legend of the game for the New York Giants, I believe.
Yep, won a ring. Yeah, nice one.
Yeah, so. But I ended up going away from it because I feel like the cheese is going to fall off the cracker eventually. But if I were to take this game, I would take the Raiders. But, I mean, what that Dolphins team is doing is just so hard to bet against someone against a bad team like the Raiders. So I avoided it.
Yeah, I don't have a bet on this either. I have a lean, and I'm actually leaning the other way. I'm leaning towards Dolphins minus 11.5. The Raiders were smoking victory cigars after last week's game. That was a Super Bowl to them. Like, I think they're going to go to Miami and just get the doors rocked off them. And maybe Pierce won't let that happen. I do agree with you that I think they have something good going, but like the victory cigars part of it, and like those guys were celebrating that, like it was the
That was Josh McDaniels cigars. Those weren't victory cigars.
Yeah, but like still it's the same sentiment though. It's like they did what they wanted to do, and like I feel like your mindset starts
mission accomplished.
Miami's coming off a bye. It's in Miami, so they're flying all the way across the country. Daylight savings just happened. Like that's gonna it's I think there's a lot playing towards Miami here, but 11.5 was too big for me.
Yeah. So
next
I don't hate that.
Cowboys going to Panthers. Buckle up. This one's going to be a game.
We got to talk about this game?
Just briefly. Just give your thought.
Terrified. Okay. This, as a Cowboys fan, you're terrified about this game. I mean, I didn't talk about it when we played the Cardinals. I talked about it off air about how I was terrified of the Cardinals game. And up until last week, that was the Cardinals' only win. There's not a lot about this team that scares me. Nothing about this team scares me. But it's something about the fact that I would say over half this Cardinals team probably grew up with either being a Cowboys fan or having Cowboys fans in their family. So they're going to get up big for this game. Cowboys coming off a big win and a bad loss to the Philadelphia Eagles, and CeeDee Lamb putting up 700 yards a game, Dak Prescott throwing for 500 yards and 4 touchdowns, Rico Dowdle getting his shit going. Like everything just looks like the Cowboys this game. I mean, this is a typical Cowboys come out flat and end up in a dogfight and hopefully win in the end. But at the same time, the defense hasn't scored a touchdown in almost 3 weeks. So it's like, if Dan Quinn gets this defense up and going, they're going to destroy them. So I think the offense is going to be flat. But if the defense can get hot, I think it's an easy cover. So that's what I have to say about that. I'm not betting it.
I'll take your word on it. So next up here, Cardinals going to the Texans. But are there any native Cardinals in Texas? Like real bird Cardinals?
So when I grew up in Kerrville, and I'm not old enough to. So that's South Texas for people that aren't familiar with Texas geography. I don't know if there were Cardinals, but we had a bunch of Redbirds. Like they were red, but I don't remember exactly what they look like. But out there were Cardinals, right? Like how many Redbirds
are there? They're Texan Cardinals. So are they Texans or are they Cardinals? Like what's their team?
Texans. If you're from Texas, you're a Texan. And then you just transplant.
They're going to go against their species. That's like if you live on Mars and there's the Mars aliens versus the Earth, and you're rooting for the aliens. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. But so Kyler Murray's back. We talked about it earlier. I like this Cardinals offense with Kyler Murray back. Also, Cancer Boy's back. What's his name? James Conner.
James Conner. Cancer? I don't know about that one.
That's what he's famous for.
I know, but man, that's a rough
He beat game. It. He beat the
He beat it. Cancer. He did. We love him.
Okay, so the Cancer Eliminator.
I like that one. I like that one.
Yeah,
Cancer Eliminator, yeah. James.
I wasn't trying to say it as like a knock on him, but
I know. Yeah, I know.
The Cancer Dominator. James Conner is back for him as well. And I think the Cardinals can get something going here. And Texans have been probably the hottest team in the NFL. CJ Stroud is absolutely incredible. I think Texans win this game, but I think Cardinals can get that offense going. I like over 48 in this game.
What a coincidence. I like over 47.5 in this game. And I don't care about the half point difference. This offense didn't miss a beat last week. I mean, they were rolling with Josh Dobbs before, and they look even better with Kyler Murray. Kyler was out there doing his Teletubby, avoiding bombs, staying. Like, he's still really fast. He's still good at football. Shocking.
And he's on a monster contract. Like, the Cardinals aren't just ready to move on from Kyler Murray.
No, that never made any sense. You don't go there as a coaching staff, as a new GM, saying, we got this.
We're gonna get rid of this guy that is going to put us in the hole for the next 5 years if we cut him.
Like, who, a year and a half ago, was the leading candidate for MVP before he got hurt. Like, we're done with him. That guy sucks. Yeah, no. The Cardinals their offense look legit. CJ Stroud's making everything a freaking dogfight with tons of points down the stretch every game. It seems
some of the plays this dude's making is ridiculous.
Absolutely, man. I texted you on Sunday. I was like, man, it's over in the Bengals Texans game. Ain't looking good. And then red zone switched away, switched back, and three touchdowns have been scored. I was like, what happened? Like, this is amazing. I'm going to win my bet. This is a good day.
That was mainly due to Joe Burrow, because Texans had a big lead. But
yeah, I guess so. I guess you're right. No, it went both ways, though. It was like
the Texans were answering, but I think Texans were up, 23-12 or something like that.
Yeah.
And then Burrow scored, then Stroud answered, then Burrow scored twice, and then we got the close game at the end. But
yeah. But so my point was, they were going back and forth.
They were both scoring. I mean, if you can keep up with Joe Burrow and the Bengals with Tank Dell, Noah Brown, and Dalton Schultz, you're doing good things.
Yeah. All right. So moving on here, we got Titans at Jaguars. And what is a Titan? Exactly. Is that like a Greek god? Is that like...
So Titan is just below Celestial, but above, if we're talking Celestial. MCU.
I'm not interested.
Celestial is a all-powerful, being, a god type of being.
Okay, so Titan is Thanos, almost a superhero, but not a superhero.
So Thanos is like a Titan.
Okay.
And then if you're up to date with MCU, thank you.
I'm not. Peter, continue.
Peter Quill's dad, who is Star-Lord in Guardians of the Galaxy, his father was a Celestial, so he's all-knowing, like a god type, but not quite to that next level of actually being a god. So it's being a god, being a Celestial, being a Titan, and then right below Titans, which is where you get your Captain Americas and Iron Mans and stuff like that. So just above the superhero.
So what you're telling me is Thanos lives in Nashville.
Yes, Thanos lives in Nashville.
Okay. I get it now.
Yeah. And he is fighting the forest-dwelling Jaguar.
I mean, it sounds to me like Thanos wins that battle, but
Thanos. You would think.
I would think, yeah, but what do you got here?
I got Titans +7. It's Tractor Cito season.
Tractor Cito season. All right. I'm on the other side. I got Jags -6.5. I wouldn't have taken it at 7. But
okay. But why?
Because I could see that. I could easily see it.
Jags haven't been good.
They haven't, but you know what? They just got fucking embarrassed. And I think they're going to come out. Dougie P is going to take that call sheet back. And it's going to be a secret, but he's going to take the call sheet back this week. Press Taylor.
But Mike Vrabel doesn't lose these games.
Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he does. I don't know. Is Will Levis actually good? Looked pretty rough against Tampa.
Will Levis?
Levis? Levi's. Will Levi's.
Yeah. I mean, I like Titans only for the fact that this is a Mike Vrabel game that just mucks it up, keeps it close. Jaguars offense didn't look great last week. They'd been rolling. I mean, Christian Kirk, Travis Etienne was on a hot streak.
And Chris Taylor's been he has that offense in pretzels. Like, they are just not doing good stuff right now. That's the stuff that Doug Peterson had them doing last year has really been kind of non-existent. Doug Peterson, Andy Reid gave Doug Peterson the chance to call plays, and that's what got him his head coaching gig. Doug Peterson's trying to pay that forward. Press Taylor hasn't been it. I think Doug Peterson's going to take the call sheet back this week, and they'll look a lot different.
I would like to see it. I'm relying on the Jaguars and a lot of my fantasy teams, so I would love for them to have that offense take off. But I do like Titans +7 in this fact. Mike Vrabel is just one of those guys that can muck it up, keep it close. I could see Mike Vrabel keeping up in a shootout somehow in this game. If it ends up being like 48-43, I could just see Mike Vrabel keeping this game close, whether it's a high-scoring game or a low-scoring game. That's how much faith I have in Mike Vrabel, so that's why I'm taking Titans +7 in this spot.
Yeah, hey, I completely understand it, and I respect it. Like, this is probably my most nervous bet of the week because it's Mike Vrabel. That's what he does. But if you get embarrassed like that, like the Jaguars did last week, Doug Peterson is a good coach. I think they're going to come out and play a really strong game this week.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I'm willing to take the chance against Mike Vrabel. But I completely respect Mike Vrabel. Like, that is its own entity. He is a Titan. He might be Thanos.
We have an L from Demetrius Wilson. I don't know what he's L-ing us about, but sorry, Demetrius Wilson.
We'll take that L, Demetrius.
Thank you for listening, moving on. Demetrius.
Seahawks going to the Rams. Right between the Seahawks are not a real bird, by the way. That's like a seagull, but a hawk, and it doesn't actually exist. It's very confusing.
Sea chicken.
And I'd once tried to find a video of a Seahawk, and I was very disappointed to learn that it wasn't real. But who wins in a fight between the non-existent Seahawk and a Ram?
A Ram. I mean, hard-headed, full force, full steam ahead. Matt Stafford's back. Cooper Kupp's playing well. Puka Laduka's kind of doing his thing. I like the Rams in this game. I mean, they won this game earlier in the season, so that makes me kind of hesitant. But, I mean, Geno's kind of turning into who we thought he was. Or not actually. I mean, he's not going that far backwards. Yet,
but he's like a weird, half.
Yeah. I mean, he is 17 to 23 on who you want for a quarterback list. And that might be the worst spot to be. Because if you're past 23, you know you don't have a quarterback. But if you're inching up into that top 15, you can always tell yourself, maybe. And
if you're anywhere between 10 and 15, you can make a reasonable for being top 10, right?
Exactly.
But if you're outside the top 15,
and then if you're top 10, you can make maybe he'll take less money and we can build around him and we can build a championship around this. So, I mean, and Geno is the embodiment of, can we build a championship team around an average to below average? Because I wouldn't say he's above average by any means. I mean, he's average to below average, but you have the receivers. You have a decent offensive line. You have maybe the defensive rookie of the year in Witherspoon on the defense side of the ball, a decent defensive line, good defense going there in Seattle. Yeah, Pete Carroll, who might be one of the best coaches in the NFL. It's what is the ceiling for this team? I don't know what the ceiling for this team is, but gun to my head, I think this is a pick'em, right?
Yeah, it was at Seattle -1 when I saw it, but it might have shifted a little.
Okay. I might lean Rams here, but yeah, I'm not taking this game.
Yeah, I have a soft lean to the Seahawks. Total is 46. I mean, maybe the over, but I'm just staying away.
Yeah.
Next up here, we got more Pirates this time to Tampa Bay Pirates, Buccaneers, going all the way across country to San Francisco. And I think a pirate beats a gold digger in but nine times out of ten.
I'm not finishing that sentence.
Ayo.
That's not Kanye. All right. Pirates beat gold diggers nine times out of ten. Or they just steal the gold.
Yeah. In which case, I think they won.
What we're forgetting about is the Baker Mayfield effect.
Ooh, Baker scorned.
Baker scorned. No, I mean, I think Christian McCaffrey might have seven touchdowns this game because he didn't get one last game.
I can see it. I mean, I'm not betting this one. I want nothing to do with this
one either.
The spread is like, what's the spread on this? Tampa's 10.5 point dogs, 41.5 total. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, if I'm betting this game, I'm parlaying Christian McCaffrey to have more than 1.5 touchdowns with Mike Evans to have a touchdown. And I'm sure that pays somewhere around like +300, and I'll be more than happy with that and move on in my life.
That actually might not be a bad same game. Moving on. Jets going to the Bills. Only one of these things can fly. Do you know which one that is?
Yeah, Bills can fly if you hit them with a jet.
That is correct.
So when are we going to finally have the conversation that Josh Allen is Dak Prescott? Because I've been having this conversation, and I get shot down. I get tarred and feathered in the streets for it.
So I'm actually coming around a little bit to it, but
coming around.
I'm saying it different. Yeah, because when have I not pushed back on you on this? Like, come on, don't act like I don't push back on that. But so Josh Allen's highs are like otherworldly, but his lows are like in the pits bad. Dak Prescott, I don't see that way, which is why I have a hard time agreeing with what you say.
Dak Prescott just threw for like 500 yards, 64 yards rushing, 4 passing touchdowns, and like a rushing touchdown not even 3 days ago.
I'm talking about what he can do in one play. How much he can make you believe in one throw, one play, one moment. Josh Allen has that in spades. There might only be one other quarterback in the league who can do what he can do.
Justin Fields?
No, Pat Mahomes.
You got
Pat Mahomes is the only guy who can make one play on the level of Josh Allen. And that's because Pat Mahomes is better than Josh Allen. Like, that's the only guy. But Mahomes doesn't have the lows. In one play? For best play of his career.
Lamar Jackson.
Even that, I don't know.
CJ Stroud. Did you see that no touchdown that CJ Stroud threw?
Yeah, it was nuts.
The dude stepped out of the end zone.
That's where, like, to me though, it's like Dak Prescott is pretty dang consistent. Like, he goes up and down within his box, but he doesn't go outside his box. Like, he doesn't just get straight up bad.
I'll jump in Dak Prescott's box any day. I'll get right up in that box.
Yeah.
All up in Dak Prescott's box.
Yeah. But, like, so Josh Allen gets straight up bad for stretches every year. Like, flat out, like, this guy doesn't look like an NFL quarterback anymore. So that's where it gets weird. Like, because I value quarterback play a lot on that one play ability. And I don't think you do, which is where we differ from what I can tell.
What does one play ability matter if you can't put something together to win?
I mean, did the Bills not put something together to win every year?
Josh Allen has been riding an overtime loss against Patrick Mahomes for going on 4 years now and has shown really nothing outside of that game to show that he can consistently win at a high level in this league more than somebody like Dak Prescott. And if you want to compare big time moments, big time games, Dak almost beat Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers his rookie year and lost on a heroic play by Aaron Rodgers to set up a 53-yard field goal to win the game. If the Cowboys win that game, that's a bigger win than Patrick Mahomes having to actually score a touchdown against the Bills in overtime. So the two biggest moments of both players' career, I would say Dak was better.
Right, but that's not what I'm saying, though. I'm not saying I'm not defining it based on that game. That's not what I'm saying. Josh Allen has been a top five quarterback by EPA, by success rate, by yards, by touchdowns each of the last 3 years. Like, that's not.
Then why aren't they better?
It's not one game. They've won, like, what, 11, 12 games every year each of the last 4 years? Like, or 3 years?
And like, they go home the same way because the Cowboys every year.
They do, and that's fine. Like, I'm not trying to argue that he's worlds better. I'm saying I value based on the superhero powers that he can pull off in a game that I don't think Dak Prescott can, because he just doesn't have the physical abilities that make him a superhero.
I think what bothers me more than anything is that Josh Allen goes out there and throws 16, 17, 20 interceptions in a season, and then Dak Prescott leads the league with 16 interceptions, which is a pretty low to lead the league in interceptions for. Everybody talks about Dak Prescott being terrible. I mean, I think that's where my biggest gripe comes in, because, like, if you ask me as a Cowboys fan, would you rather have Dak Prescott or Josh Allen? I'll take Josh Allen. Don't get me wrong. But the things that this motherfucker gets away with and still is praised at the level he's praised compared to other guys in the league is maddening to a guy like me who cheers for a guy like Dak Prescott.
He's getting the Dak treatment right now. Like, people are smashing him right now for
not really
interception rate. Oh, dude! I've been all over Twitter this morning.
I've been on this train for like 3 years.
Yeah,
just now starting to come around.
Really, but Josh Allen's interception—he got better interception luck so far this year. He's actually top 10 in the NFL in turnover-worthy plays or interceptable passes. As far as like best, he is in the best 10 quarterbacks for it, and he's had the luck completely turn on him so far this year. But you're right. He is somewhere between 10 to 15 interceptions a year, but when you're throwing 35 touchdowns a year, people get over
it. 35 touchdowns a year, except last year.
Yeah, except the year where he had a lot of interceptions and people smashed him for it, which wasn't right, because it was very similar. His turnover-worthy play rate was really strong last year, actually. It was really bad turnover luck, which people are, you know?
I mean, that's my biggest, is just how much shit that gets, but I guess that's what comes with being America's team. Everybody loves to hate the Cowboys. Everybody loves to hate the Cowboys more than they love to cheer for their own team. And it's infuriating, because I don't know a whole lot of delusional Cowboys fans. I know they exist. I know they exist. And I know that's why people hate the Cowboys. But, like, myself and all the other Cowboys fans I know are very reasonable and, like, know what this team is and know what we are. And it's just infuriating for, like, the public to have the takes they have. But no, you're good. I was done with it.
Oh, it absolutely is. I get it. But so in this game,
I'm taking the under. Under 41. Josh Allen hasn't been good lately. I don't know if he gets it together in this game. I doubt it. Jets defense is very, very strong. Bills defense has been kind of struggling, but against Zach Wilson, I expect them to play decently well. I think under 41 is a fantastic play in this game.
Heads rolled up there in Buffalo today. Ken Dorsey, yeah. He got cut. He's out. In comes Joe Brady, former LSU Tiger legend. Joe Brady. Brady's very good.
Is anybody riding more high on that season than Joe Brady? I mean, Thad Moss got drafted. I mean, you got some high draft picks out of it. I mean, Joe Burrow, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You have the two receivers, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson. Terrence Marshall. All these guys got drafted high. All these guys got paid. But is anybody riding a higher high since that national championship than Joe fucking Brady. After a terrible stint with the Carolina Panthers, on top of that, it's not like that he's been like waiting in the shadows and now gets this opportunity. He came and went and failed and is now leading an offense led by what many people think is a top five quarterback with a top five receiver with one of the best young tight ends in the league with a Zach Moss that looks incredible. Yeah. He just gets handed the reins to a Ferrari because he was on the coaching staff after they fire somebody.
I'm up the brakes a little bit on calling the Bills offensive personnel a Ferrari, but I don't think they're that good. I think Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen is a great starting point, but outside
Zach Moss has been great. Dalton Kincaid's been great.
You mean Cook. Has Kincaid been great? You said Zach Moss.
I wasn't talking about Cook. Who's Dalvin's the other running back? Yeah, James Cook. James Cook.
Yeah.
He's been good, right?
He's been solid. Their running game has been super inconsistent. Like their O-line is
He was the one that last night.
Yeah,
right?
Then picked it
and
up.
And then they didn't give him the ball again for like 17 plays, even though he was having an incredible game. Yeah, okay.
Oh, wait, no. It was in the fourth quarter when I'm thinking of. They bounced off the ground and came back in his hand.
They had a running back in the first quarter, and they didn't give him the ball again forever. It might have been Cook.
Maybe. If it was Cook, then when they gave it back to him again, but he picked it right back up and just kept running.
Okay.
It was hilarious. It bounced. It hit the ground, bounced right back up in his hands, and he just kept going.
That's lucky.
But anyways, heads rolled up there in Buffalo. When that happens, people tend to start to get in the line. I honestly think, and this is complete speculation on my part, Ken Dorsey is a heated dude. He's a passionate dude. I think life kind of sucked up there in Buffalo when that offense wasn't going well. Impressing.
In Buffalo. That's what makes Buffalo, Buffalo.
Right. But I think in that facility, it was pretty rough to be around Ken Dorsey. And like I said, this is pure speculation, so I can't say it for a fact. But I think that offense is going to have a bit of a sigh of relief this week. I'm taking Bills minus 6.5.
Do it.
I'm on it.
I like it. I like the under. You like Bills? Let's do it.
Yep. All right. Moving on here. Vikings at Broncos. I don't think a real-life Viking would wear purple. I got nothing to really say on this game. I kind of like the over, but I'm staying in Denver. The spread is Denver minus 2.5. Total is at 43.5. Not a whole lot I like here.
This is about the time Josh Dobbs falls off anytime he goes to. So, I mean, Russell Wilson's starting to play a little bit better. I mean, he's looking competent again for the first time in two years. So, say what you want about that. So, maybe take the Broncos, but something about this Vikings team, man, they just keep getting it done. And
dude, this is what the Minnesota Vikings have always been.
Yeah.
They're just stuck in a constant purgatory of like they're good enough but never good enough.
Yeah, so I mean I don't love anything in this game, so we can move on.
You heard it here first. Broncos are back. Moving on. Premier matchup of the week.
Yeah, Eagles Monday night game.
Chiefs. What you got?
All right. So Chiefs offense hasn't really been able to get things going, but that defense has been incredible. I think the Eagles have gotten very, very, very lucky with most of their matchups this year. Coming off a bye against Andy Reid. Andy Reid doesn't lose bye weeks. And they're not going to make the mistakes that the Cowboys made. And if you watch the Cowboys-Eagles game if you take the touchdowns out of that game and you just watch the game play by play without the touchdown plays, nobody in their right mind could watch that game film and be like, oh, Eagles won this game pretty easily. That's not a game that the Chiefs win. I think the Chiefs are the favorites to slim minor favorites behind the Ravens, if anybody else is a favorite right now to win the Super Bowl. I think the Eagles are a very good team, but I think they're a flawed top team in the league. I mean, I think they're I think they're right there with the top of the pack. I think they are in no way above the pack of seven teams that can win the Super Bowl right now. And Chiefs minus 2.5 coming off of their last game is against the Broncos, right?
Yeah, loss.
Yeah. Coming off that Broncos loss, I expect Andy Reid to have this offense going. Give me Chiefs minus 2.5 in this game. If the Eagles win this game, I'll be very, very impressed, no matter how they do it. Even if they win like they won against the Cowboys, it doesn't matter to me. I think this is I wouldn't be surprised if the Eagles win if the Eagles lose three of their next four, because I think they're a good team, but I think they're right there with everybody else. I don't think they're ahead of the pack by any means whatsoever. Jalen Hurts has not played to the level he played last season, and I don't see a whole lot that he can do to really elevate his game to play better. I mean, AJ Brown is playing out of his mind. I mean, they have dudes all over the field, and they're still playing, in my opinion, average football. And maybe everybody can elevate at the same time, and they can get to that point they were at last season. I just don't see it happening. Even with the revenge factor of the Super Bowl, give me Chiefs minus 2.5 in this game.
Yeah, I'm with you. I got two bets on this game. So I got Chiefs minus 2.5 because, like you said, I just don't think the Chiefs lose this game at home and just in a situation that they're in, coming off the bye, coming off a loss after underperforming. I think that really their defense is pretty rough. They're going to rough up the Eagles' offense. I think that they are a very good fit to make them struggle with the way that Steve Spagnuolo runs that unit. So I'm also taking the under 46.5. KC's receivers are not really getting the job done. Coming out of the bye week, Andy Reid's going to have some fun stuff drawn up, some creative stuff ready to go to make sure they get enough points. But I think it's really going to be on the defense to hold the Eagles to a lower score. And I think they do. So Chiefs minus 2.5 and the under 46.5.
I like that.
And so do we want to go through some midseason awards real quick?
Yeah, we can do some midseason awards real quick.
Okay. Starting with rookies.
Start with the rookies.
What you got for offensive rookie of the year?
Offensive rookie of the year? Okay. So if we're talking realistically, I think this has got to be Jordan Addison. Had a great season so far. Tank Dell's played well as well. I don't think Bijan or Jahmyr Gibbs have been given the opportunities that they deserve to really take over this award. Zay Flowers could be in this conversation, but I don't think he's done quite enough just yet. But I think Jordan Addison, with the loss of Jamar Chase and the way he stepped up, to me, he's got to be at the top of this list. Let me know if you disagree.
I mean, so I'm biased. I wasn't that big on Jordan Addison in the draft.
We're not talking about
in
the
and
draft.
Out on him. Well, let me. I'm telling my story. I'm letting the people. I'm giving them the background. So, I mean, I liked his tape. I was skeptical about his size-speed combo because it was just one that historically didn't really work in the NFL. And then the first, 4 weeks, 5 weeks of the season, almost half his yards came on blown coverages on go routes, which is something that I'm just skeptical of. Like, when I'm seeing that all your yards are coming from that, I'm even more skeptical. But Justin Jefferson went down, and he started balling out. So I got to give the guy his credit. He's played well. That's not who I have here, though. I went with the obvious is C.J. Stroud, but to go with the non-obvious one, Puka Laduka, man.
Yeah.
Puka Laduka's got more production. Like, Puka's my offensive rookie of the year outside quarterback.
My only thing about Puka Laduka, the only reason I didn't have him in there is because I feel like recency bias is going to kill him at the end, because I feel like his are going to drop off while guys like Zay Flowers, Jahmyr Gibbs, Bijan Robinson, Jordan Addison are going to start to excel at the end of the season. to where all of Puka's stuff was at the beginning of the season without Cooper Kupp, and we haven't really and then Matt Stafford got hurt, so we haven't really seen that Rams offense at full strength. But yes, I do agree with that. But I can't include CJ Stroud in this because he's going to win other awards that basically restrict him from winning Offensive Player of the Year or Rookie Offensive Player of the Year.
So, if that's the case, let's break the trend. Why can't a tight end win it? Give it to Sam LaPorta.
I like Sam LaPorta a lot. But I think if you give it to a Lions player, I think it would be Jahmyr Gibbs. Because, I mean, you look at what he does. I mean, you look at the splits for fucking Jahmyr Gibbs. Yeah. Dude's incredible.
Yeah. All right. So, how about Defensive Rookie of the Year?
I think it's got to be Witherspoon out of Seattle. I mean, the dude's just balling right now. I mean, he's looking like he might be an All-Pro DB his rookie year. He's doing everything. He's making tackles. His blitzes have been fantastic. He's got the interceptions. He's been locked down there for him in the DB. I love what Witherspoon's doing there for him in Seattle. And I don't even know if there's a debate that anybody's better than him, because I mean he's one of the best players in the league right now.
Well, so he's my two, but. You know, Jalen Carter is—he's taking this thing.
The same Jalen Carter that got absolutely destroyed by Tyler Smith, who will be an All-Pro this year.
I don't know about destroyed. He got handled.
Destroyed. Dick in the dirt.
But yeah, I mean, I don't really care. Honestly, he got hurt against Washington. I'm willing to say he was playing hurt again. And all his game tape outside of that is just filthy. It is like absolutely disgusting. Best defensive tackle in the
biggest NFL game. Biggest game of the year. He was a no show.
Yeah, back injuries happen.
We'll see. We got a lot of year left.
And then, if I also wanted to stick on the D line, I want to shout out Keanu Benton. Dude is a very good animal. Dude is just like he. If it weren't for Jalen Carter, Keanu Benton would be getting a lot of shine right now from the tape he's putting out there. It's filthy. So, how about Offensive Player of the Year? What do you got?
Tyreek Hill. I think that's pretty clear and cut. I mean, wide receiver is not going to win the MVP. And he's regressed a little bit here recently. But, I mean, he's still going to be knocking on the door of a 2,000-yard season. He's going to have probably 100-plus catches, probably in 15 to 20 touchdown range. Like, it's a shoe-in for Offensive Player of the Year.
I got Tyreek Hill as well. Runner-up was Christian McCaffrey for me, but Tyreek Hill, I'm not sure there's another non-quarterback who changes an offense the way Tyreek Hill does.
And like, offensive player of the Year usually goes to the best non-quarterback, unless the second-best quarterback in the MVP race was just so ridiculous that they can't give it to a non-quarterback. So,
yeah. So how about
Defensive Player of the Year? Myles Garrett.
Yeah. Ooh, I wasn't expecting that. Okay. Why?
He's incredible.
So my list is Myles Garrett, Micah Parsons. And I just thought you were going to go with Micah Parsons.
No, Micah Parsons is, I mean, he hasn't really showed up like he has earlier in the season. And, I mean, I think if the versatility of Micah Parsons, if you're giving me a clean slate, to where I can have either one of them on my team, I'm probably taking Micah Parsons for everything that he can do. But, I mean, if we're just talking Defensive Player of the Year, I'm taking Myles Garrett.
Well, I'm with you. Myles Garrett is, I mean, you got to be careful watching his tape. He might get hurt. Like, yeah. He is just playing on a whole other plane this year. It is incredible.
Yeah. Are you proud of me? Because we didn't share our list beforehand.
I am. I'm very proud of that. Proud of you on that. So, MVP, what do you got?
CJ Stroud. When you talk about most valuable player, and I know this isn't how most valuable player is awarded in the NFL, which is ridiculous, but you look at most valuable player for any team. Can anybody else do what CJ Stroud is doing for the Houston Texans right now, maybe Patrick Mahomes, who is the odds-on favorite to win MVP, maybe Patrick Mahomes. But outside of Patrick Mahomes, can anybody do what CJ Stroud is doing with this Houston Texans team?
No, it's his at this point for me. I mean, because I look at
the letter of the law, most valuable player. Like,
yeah, no, well, because Mahomes is the only right. Because you look at Mahomes and you see, you look at who his receivers are, and he's got Travis Kelce though. He's got Andy Reid. Andy Reid is a proven commodity in this league of one of the best offensive minds the NFL has ever seen. Bobby Slowick is not. Maybe Bobby Slowick is Andy Reid in a few years, but he's not yet. And this is his first time ever calling plays, and this is what Stroud is doing. Either Bobby Slowick is the next Sean McVay, or like CJ Stroud is this freaking good. And I don't know how you make him for anyone but CJ Stroud right now. I just don't.
Yeah. Lamar had it up until the last couple of weeks. Granted, so 2 weeks ago, they didn't need him. Last week against the Browns hurt Lamar a lot because there was multiple times in that third and fourth quarter where they needed to make a play, playing one of the best defenses in the league, and couldn't get it done.
Looks like the playoffs, like where they get down and they can't come back. Like
and they had a huge lead. Like what CJ Stroud is doing with this receiving core, we talked about earlier in the podcast. I mean, name your favorite team and tell me if you're replacing wide receiver one, wide receiver two, wide receiver three, running back, tight end, where you would replace your wide receiver one with Tank Dell, or your wide receiver two with Noah Brown, or your wide receiver three with Bobby Trees, or flip the wide receiver two and three.
But I don't know if Nico Collins
or Nico Collins
wide receiver one in the league.
Yeah, it was okay. So if Nico Collins is your one, maybe some teams are taking Tank Dell at wide receiver two. But I mean, position for position, there's not a whole lot of teams that would take anybody on the Texans over who they have.
Left tackle and right tackle is about the only spots.
I'm talking skill positions only. Like, I'm not even talking offensive line, which, yeah, his offensive line is good when healthy, but, I mean, he hasn't had a full offensive line hardly at all.
The tackles are good when healthy. Their interior is kind of just like,
when healthy,
somewhere, like, their interior is still a huge question mark as far as like proven commodities go. It's insane what he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, it would be different. Like, I know Joe Burrow got hurt his rookie year, but I mean, it would be different if you're doing these things with guys that were either supposed to do these things or were proven commodities. But it's like he is turning guys into household names that had no business even being starters in the NFL. Like Noah Brown was like the fifth wide receiver on the Cowboys roster like 2 years ago.
He put up some nice though.
Yeah, he was all right. Like he was.
No, he's not good though. Like he's a guy. He's a guy.
Like Nico Collins. Like Nico Collins is Darnell Mooney.
Yeah. That's pretty. I mean, very different skill sets, but very similar level.
That's not a knock on the Bears by any means, but like,
no,
that's his caliber of player. I mean, nobody's gonna bang the door for Darnell Mooney being like a top wide receiver one in the league.
Well, if you go backwards about 18 months, you'll find Bears fans who did. But
I bet they will. But it's like imagine like a T. Higgins on this team.
I know, dude. Like, it's insane.
And T. Higgins is wide receiver too.
Yeah.
On his current team. Like, imagine if they kept Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
Who the Cowboys, like, Dak Prescott has refused to throw the ball to Brandon Cooks. Threw the ball to him finally last week. Had 12 catches for 165 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Oh, he's going to get his 1,000 yards. One way or another, he's going to get it.
Imagine Brandon Cooks on this team where he's the top option. Like, that might be the worst mistake the Texans have made in the past 8 months, is getting rid of Brandon Cooks for nothing. Like, can you imagine Brandon Cooks on this team right now with Nico Collins and Noah Brown? Like, and the Cowboys just haven't used him.
He had 160 yards last week.
2 touchdowns and 12 catches. Yeah, it's crazy. And I mean, I banged the table all off season for it about how good Brandon Cooks will be in this Cowboys offense. And it seems like I think in the last like 3 weeks, he went from averaging like a catch a game to 7 catches a game in the last 3 weeks. So I'm hoping that continues moving forward, because holy shit, I don't know what it took for the Cowboys to realize this is good.
I think Mike McCarthy just forgot they signed him.
Yeah, or he looks at him, he's like, oh, that guy's kind of small. Like, have you seen CeeDee Lamb, though? He's 6'2". Like, why throw the ball to Brandon Cooks when CeeDee Lamb's 6'2"? Like, that's the only logical explanation for it.
All right, you want to get some college?
Yeah, we can get some college. But, yeah, CJ Stroud, he won't win MVP because he's a rookie, but if by the letter of the law, I mean, I don't think there is a more valuable player to any franchise right now than CJ Stroud is to the Texans.
Yeah.
First up here, I have Arizona +1 versus Utah. I know Utah was hot to start the season, but I like Arizona at home here to cover the one. Arizona's going to end up being a top 15 team by the end of the season. I think they can cover this at home. Next up, I have the Georgia Bulldogs catching their groove, finally getting into their championship pedigree, covering 10 versus Tennessee. I have UCLA, USC over 65.5. That's a blind bet. USC over every week. They missed the over last week for the first time all season. So they were 8-1 8-0-1 going into that game. They had one push and didn't hit the over. I'm taking over 65.5 in that game. Blind bet USC over every single week. I'll take my loss if it happens. Ohio State versus Minnesota. One of my favorite bets of the week. Ohio State is rolling, and yeah, this is when Ohio State does what Ohio State does. They beat bad teams. They didn't do it early in the season, so you're getting value later in the season, because most years Ohio State blows out everybody early and this spread is 36 late in the season. The fact that this spread's only 28 versus Minnesota, I feel like this is where you win one over on Vegas, because I mean, we talked about it before the pod. Bookmakers kind of figure out college football later in the season. This is where you can find value, because Ohio State didn't do what they usually do early in the season, but they're starting to hit their stride. So Ohio State -28 versus Minnesota. And then last, I have LSU with the Heisman winner, Jaden Daniels at quarterback. Another guy who won't win the Heisman because it's going to be a 3-loss team who should win the Heisman, because there's not a better college football player right now in the nation than Jaden Daniels. But I'm taking the over 71 in this game. I think LSU puts up 60, and I think LSU's defense is bad enough to give up 20. I think this is an easy over 71 in this game.
Yeah. So I've only got 3 plays this week. Really, just the slate did not lie. There's not a lot that might like here. But first up, Colorado going to Washington State. Give me Colorado +4.5. Colorado has covered 67% of their games this year, while Washington State has failed to cover 60% of their games. North Carolina going into Clemson. Last time I bet against Clemson here with Notre Dame, it hurt, but I'm doing it again. Give me North Carolina +6.5. Drake May is looking awesome. They are just sticking with anybody they're playing, so just I'm just going to keep doing that. North Carolina +6.5. Washington and North Carolina has covered 60% of the games. Clemson has failed to cover 60% of their games. And then Washington going to Oregon State. I don't even care about this on this one. Washington's offense, like, I know Oregon State has been rolling, that they're a good football team. I don't think there's a defense in the country that can stop these receivers in Washington. And I think they're just going to keep up with whoever they face. Give me Washington money line at plus 108.
Love that. Like all those picks.
We went long tonight.
Yeah, we covering every game. We got a little long-winded there, but it's worth the time.
Worth the time. All right, let us know. Like and subscribe. Make sure you go to the website and you can see all of our picks anytime. All you have to do is go to chevin-points.com. You can see all the picks. College basketball is coming soon. I know you boys love college basketball. Go to chevin-points.com. And if you don't subscribe, we will find your email and we will spam you to the end of time. So that's not a threat. That's a promise. So if you don't want to be spammed on your email, make sure you subscribe to the website.
That's the way it works.
And do we even have to say don't sleep on the Texans at this point?
Because it's over. It's done. No one's sleeping.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say we called it back in June, but we called it back in June. At least I did.
I was leaning more towards Washington. Like, I was down for Houston, but I like Washington a little more. And we were right on both, though.
Hey, who's leading the league right now in passing yards?
None other than the Tar Heel Sam Howell.
Yeah. So, I'll take that as a win for both of us.
Boom. Don't do it. Don't sleep on the Texans.
Hey, see y'all next week.
Adios.
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.